Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Marcia Cook, and it's A Good Story is a Good Story with World of Ink Network, and we've got a great show today. We've got JoJo. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. I don't know if we have JoJo because she's not here, but we have William that's here. William Maltese is here. Okay. I just want to say a few messages before we begin the show, and one of them is about, you know, lately there's so many publishers that have, the smaller publishers that have left the scene and leaving so many authors just devastated. So I mentioned it to Fidelity Publishing yesterday, and Robin will be, she's the owner, and she'll be willing to help. And if you have your books in a resolution or in a PDF, and you have the cover, and she can help you. And it's, the prices will be very good, but I know that everybody is so worried about what to do. So, and if you have any questions, just call me, and I'll probably direct you to other people also, because I know it seems overwhelming. So I'm so sorry this happened to a lot of people, but I think the industry is changing. So the indie author, you know, needs to probably step up to the plate themselves. Unfortunately, it will cost them a little money, but I think that it's better than people are actually just out there without their books, or they don't know where to go, and they just, it's on, they're on their first book. So you can call, I'm Marcia Casper Cook, or you can call Virginia Grenier from World of Ink. We'll guide you. I've done my books independently published with Fidelity. And there are lots of other people out there that, you know, if you want to call me, I'll be happy to help you find one that will be reasonable and fair, because that's important out there. Okay, I think both of my guests are here now. I think so. JoJo, are you here? William, I think you're both here, right?
Yeah, hello.
Okay, good. Hello. Good, okay.
I'm here, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know that. Okay, all right. You two are a duo that on No Boundaries, and it's on Wednesday nights, and I was on the show a few weeks ago, and it's 7 o'clock Central, 8 Eastern, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Five Pacific.
Right,
time.
Right. I know that's what our whole life goes by: Central, Pacific, Mountain, Eastern. Everything I do now turns out to be that. Okay, now which one of you would like to talk first? Just to say about No Boundaries. It's a fun show. It's similar to this type of show because, you know, you have a lot of guests on and you have fun and you just enjoy yourself. So that's what we do. So, well,
ladies
maybe
first, JoJo. Go,
yeah,
JoJo.
I knew you were going to say that because I know you already. You've been on already, so you're like the guy, you're like the kid in the class that sits in the back and thinks he won't be called on until they get to the front, maybe, you know. And I was actually, I used to sit in the back, but then they would, if I sat in the back, then they'd start in the back. What can I say? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, JoJo, how are you? It's good that you're on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having myself on, and William too.
Oh yeah, it's going to be fun. I know.
Yeah, it's cool to be in the guest seat for a change.
Well, neither William and I like that either that much. So that I know, we like to be in control.
Yeah.
But on this show, you could be in control. Okay, tell us about You know, one of the things is I actually, William and I were talking the other day. Tell us about how you two decided to do the show together.
Basically, it sort of came about with both of us being on a lot of shows together, you know, and like similar talk show hosts and stuff, having us on as guests either separately, sometimes together. And back in MySpace days, we ended up getting together on a lot of giveaways in my site Vampire, where we do jewelry and that, and came with this book, and we have these things like the 13 days of Christmas, and every day we got a giveaway. So William was included in that, myself included in that, and it just came about that they thought it would be kind of a cool idea if we could go together.
Right.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing the shows together?
I believe it's getting close to 5 years now.
Yeah, 5, yeah. Okay, we were thinking about it. Yeah, I'm 6 years, right. And I think that's how long William's been on my show. So then it's 6 years, because we were talking. I didn't remember him being on a show before, you know, that. But
yeah.
So that's about,
so
yeah.
About 6 years. And we used to
and
be
you're
on
every, you're on every week. You're on every week. And, you know, you have a time slot, which is smart. I used to, but I kind of go all over the place now. So it's, you know, we have a lot of listeners on demand, so I guess, you know, it's okay, because you have the same time slot all the time, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's like you said, it's 8 o'clock Eastern time. I'm not going
right.
to all the rest of them. 5 Central and whatever. Yeah, on every Wednesday night.
And that's tomorrow. I know, because, you know, when you start doing shows, it's kind of like you gear your whole week to that, you know, show, and it's like when it's Monday, you might think it's Tuesday, really, because it seems when you're posting and doing all of this, the time flies. Once you start at the computer and you start to, you know, promote, the day goes, like hours go by, and there you are, you know, and then, you know, this takes a lot of work. So, you know, I think that a lot of people don't realize how much work it takes. And, William, I mean, you have a lot of books. And I actually want to talk after this, I want to talk to JoJo about her Jewelry Vampire line. So, William, I know you have so many books. I think, is it 119? I was looking you up again today. Is it 119 or is it more?
Well, actually, it's more. I think it's probably... It varies in regard to what's available on, like, Amazon, because, I mean, those are the current ones. So there's probably about 119 now that you can pick up through, like, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. There's, you know, there's another 100 or so that are out of print and are just collector's items now. So it just depends, yeah. It depends on when you go and the time. Yeah, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you have so many different. I mean, you have so many different genres. You know,
as a matter of fact, I don't think there's a genre that I haven't written. And actually, I made it a point. I get bored very easily, and so jumping from genre to genre was a way to keep my interest. So if I didn't have one, if I didn't have a play, I wrote a play. If I didn't have a movie script, I wrote a movie script. If I didn't have a cozy romance, I wrote a cozy romance. So, yeah.
Do you have any favorites? I mean, you know, that you really, or is it just you're not partial to any of them?
No, you know, I kind of lean, I suspect, towards probably adventure espionage or something like that. You know, the male-oriented spies and lies and that sort of thing, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, before we get tired of talking about other things, I wanted to talk about the vampire jewelry line, you know, because we didn't get to talk about that on your show too much. So tell everybody, JoJo, about how you got into that, because that's a whole different aspect, because you're into music.
Vampire were actually, I started that in the early 90s, which was kind of neat, and before the internet really took off and everything, and I was just t-shirts, and I had a few jewelry items, and selling, you know, t-shirts, you know, fun vampire wear, you know, vampire stuff on the immortal and vampire surf at night, things like that, and then I stopped doing it for a few years, and then started getting into it again, because I still had all my sketchbooks and that, started getting into it again and went online with Stamp in 1999. So I've had the site since then, and it's kind of as it progresses along, there's going to be more and more jewelry, and not as much. I might have some of the T-shirts, but I hesitate to it because people go on eBay and buy T-shirts, you know, really cheap in China and all that. So the shirts that I was getting made had embroidery and all that on them, so they were in pricier.
Well, it takes time to do all that. I mean, you know, when you embroider and you do, you know, things like that, that's one of the problems. You know, people, you know, I was talking about that before I was on the show with some other people today. We're talking about people are all of a sudden everybody thinks they would like things for nothing. And, you know, you can't have that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
You know, and they were talking about Amazon and all of these things where, you know, how does Amazon sell it so cheap? I said, well, Amazon, you know, it's the vendor that is, you know, Amazon makes their cut, I think, no matter what. I mean, whatever they charge, you know, if any of our products are on there, they still get what they get. They don't cut their, you know, their money is the same. It's just us, you know. And even when you have site, you know, why don't you tell everybody your website so they know that, too, so they can see the...
The site is vampireware.com. And, but like I said, I really enjoy, I like doing the jewelry, and I make it, most of it that's on there, I make myself. And one of the things that's on there that's pretty cool that a lot of people order is I have blood vial gift sets. So, you know, there's two necklaces in a package, and they're little glass vials that people can put their own blood in them, or I can put fake, like, horror movie blood in them, which a lot of people get for Halloween. A lot of people have bought them for ashes for their pets, things like that. I had a girl send me a picture. She put her stones in one. So that was kind of weird.
What did she put in?
Her kidney
stones. I didn't
stones.
Hear that. Oh, okay.
Kidney.
All right. Kidney. Okay, kidney or gallbladder, one or the other. Right. So, that's a good keepsake, stones. I guess.
I don't know why she'd want to keep that, but she thought it
was
cool.
Well, you know, you never know why people want to keep anything sometimes. You know, some things, you know, people decide to keep, I guess, you know. But, you know, I mean, so at Vampires, it's still hot. It doesn't matter. You know, Vampires and romance books and erotica, nothing has changed. You know, in the last few years, it's still, these are still hot items, you know, and I don't see them going anywhere at all fast. They're going to be out, you know. I think it's just going to stay this way because people have so much fun with, you know, it's different than the mainstream. So I think there's so many people that are not exactly mainstream and they like to do other things. That's why it's kind of a fun market now to be in. Anything goes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I always tell people, you know, everybody talks about goth now, but back when I was a teenager, it was punk rock, and it was very, you know, quite similar to goth. So every, you know, it's kind of a timeless thing.
I think it is. I actually do. You know, I think it is. You know, and, you know, William, you can ask her a question, too, because when you're on the air, you don't talk to each other about anything. So you can,
yes,
if you have a question
do.
That you don't ask,
sure
you know, because you don't talk, you talk to the guest a lot of times.
No, we've actually devoted whole programs to just us. So,
well, right.
Yeah.
We've had more than our share. We've had more than our share of.
Then you could just sit back and
relax.
And enjoy the show, right? Just listen. You know, JoJo, also you do. You have beads. Your beads.
Yeah.
I mean, you have so many different things, both of you. I mean, you know, but you've not been on the show. So, how did you get into beads? I mean, that's so unique.
Yeah, well, we live on a farm.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah. I'm petrified of bees. I see them and I want to like run. I'm scared.
There's no reason to be afraid of them because they're actually honeybees are very tame and quiet as long as you don't crash around and stuff. They pick up on you. Honeybees are different from wasps, and a lot of people don't know the difference, but honeybees are different than wasps because the honeybee stings God. So it doesn't want to sting you. It'll only sting you as a last resort. And they do have a little warning, though. They call it headbutting, they'll, if you're too close to them or you're bothering them, they bump into you, and they'll bump into you a few times. You'll feel them hit you, and that means, you know, get out of here or you're going to get stung.
I think the human, the instinct is to go, you know, like shoo them away, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, or start running or do something, you know. Just like, you know, I see people, and myself included, you know, and if there's too many flowers around, I like kind of walk away because I'm afraid. You know, I think there are so many people that are afraid of bees, you know, and but this is one of your, I mean, you're so interesting in that respect because the things you do are not like everybody else. You know, this.
Yeah.
There's somebody in the chat room. It's called the Bee Guy. Do you know who that is? He's here in the chat room.
Oh, it's probably Bruce.
He's here. Yes, it is. Hi,
yeah.
Bruce. Okay. If anybody wants to call in or ask questions, you can either put it in the chat room or call in at 714-242-5259 to speak to our guests, you know, so you know who
that's
that is.
My,
good.
That's my the beater half, my better half.
Okay. Hi. Okay. Well, then he talks to you enough then, right? He doesn't have to talk, right? He asks you enough questions at home.
Oh, he can ask questions if he wants.
Okay, so anybody, you know, if they're listening, they can call. Sometimes, you know, with Blog Talk, they're not in the chat room and they can't always hear, you know, hear. So I sometimes call in to, like, you know, 712-422-5259 on this one if somebody else is having a show so I can hear. Because sometimes, you know, on Facebook, the links don't work. You know, as you know, nothing is perfect in this field. We're just happy when we're all on the air. I know that. It's like the show's on.
Yeah.
We're good. Good to go. That's it. You know. I know the cookbooks for you, William, you know, are a big thing. And I, you know, I see your recipe. You know, I know you the recipes. And whenever I put them out, people are so interested. Why do you think that is? I mean, I think, you know, it's funny when you put a blog post out about a book or whatever, but when you put it out about food, it seems to be now people are so interested in what you're eating, what you're doing, and how you do it.
Well, look, everybody has to eat. Not everybody has to read a book. So I think
or likes to read a book,
and,
right, yeah.
Yeah, or do, you know, or does read a book these days. So I think that's part of the problem. There's fewer readers these days than there used to be. So I think it's just the fact that everybody has to eat and everybody has to cook and everybody's interested in food. So I think that's why the cookbook.
Well, you cook a lot. I mean, you cook a lot. I don't know, JoJo, do you cook a lot or not?
Oh yes, a lot.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Because So have you made the beef stroganoff that William writes about? That his sister and their cookbook. When I put that out, every single person that I know goes like, "Oh, this sounds so good! I'm gonna cook it."
I love the beef stroganoff. It's one of my favorite recipes. Yeah, no, I cook them because I mean the recipes that I usually put in the in the cookbooks are usually recipes that I actually use. So I mean,
right.
Especially I mean I have two books, so I have pretty worn and worried because whenever I want something, I usually want something that's familiar and I just go to it. So, I do a good cooking. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I sometimes cook a, you know, a total course meal and dress up in a tuxedo and sit down by myself and enjoy. So,
This is like a scene in a movie.
Yeah, well, you know, good company.
Well, you traveled
food.
A lot, though. I mean, you have traveled a lot of places. So I think that does help, you know, for you to feel a certain way when you're eating. And, you know, because other countries, too, they're more relaxed when they eat. You know, we have a lot of fast food, so I don't eat fast foods, but a lot of people do, you know.
Well, actually, that was one of the reasons that the publisher first decided to approach me in regard to writing a series of cookbooks and wine books is because of the fact that I traveled. And then when I traveled, I wrote novels usually about the places I'd been. And one of the few things that, you know, people usually found of interest about places like South America and stuff were the various food that they ate. So I always made it a point, you know, by going to collect recipes and put them in the books and have the characters, you know, eating the food that was indicative of the locale. So that's what actually got me first started. They said, you know, you've been around so often and you've gathered so many, why don't you just start putting some of them in cookbooks? And I decided, well, sure, why not? I hadn't written a cookbook at the time.
It's just, you know, I mean, you know, it's a relaxing, you know, for some people that really relaxing. JoJo, do you have any recipes that you like yourself that you cook?
I make stuffed peppers a lot, and I cook a lot with honey, of course. I make a lot of honey, garlic.
You want to talk
you know,
a little bit about, talk about honey and the benefits of it, because I think that, you know, I didn't ask you about that, but I'm sure that that's what, you know, you're into too, because it does have a lot of benefits. My grandmother used to have one or two teaspoons a day of honey, and she, like, lived to 101. So, I mean, she just took it by the spoonful, and a lot of people do.
Yes, and it's pretty much the perfect food, and it's the benefits of honey. Yeah, the most benefit out of honey is to go to a local beekeeper in your area. You want to be within, you know, a 50-mile radius kind of where you live, and get that honey, because if anybody that suffers from allergies, like a lot of people have goldenrod allergies and that, if they're eating their local honey, and that's the bees are getting the pollen from those flowers, that helps boost their immunity, their allergies.
Really? I mean, I have a lot of allergies. I do, you know, to food. Well, I don't have the anaphylactic allergies where you can't breathe, but I have the allergies to foods, and I do have a lot of allergies. And people with allergies do develop, you know, autoimmune things, and they do because it all ties together. I don't think people realize how much our body is tied together by, you know, everything, you know, our system, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I think people, and that's why a lot of doctors, you know, in school, they don't really go through, you know, what's good for you or not. They just go through the medical part, and if you ask your doctor questions, they don't even answer, you know, because they don't know sometimes. You know, and they don't pursue that a lot of times, which I think a lot of people, if they tried certain things, they might feel better.
Natural things. And it actually is interesting. You're starting to see it more now that there are creams and that being made with honey in them, because honey is really high in antibacteria, like inside of a beehive.
It's totally sterile.
You know, they're very clean. It's sterile. Mm-hmm. There's this we call it bee glue, the propolis that they, everything that they make is beneficial to people as well. And there's this stuff propolis, and they use it to fill in any cracks in the hive to make it tight. And it's made from the sap of trees, and they actually excrete this stuff out of their bodies and fill in all the little cracks in their hive. And people scrape it out, and you can put it in a coffee grinder, grind it up, and put it in your smoothies and that. And it's super high in antibiotic and all that. So people put it on cuts, they eat it.
I've heard that on cuts and things. Yeah, you know. And a lot of times, you know, I worked for doctors for 20 years, but like people will come in, you know, they have bad coughs or whatever. And even myself, you know, when you get a cough or you have allergies, and you take tea and honey, there's something that it doesn't do the same unless you have the honey in it. There's something about what the honey does into your throat. It stops you from that choky cough. It sounds ridiculous, but it's true. I mean, I know this for a fact, and, you know, it helps people. And I think, you know, it's really a shame because, you know, most of these drugs that they have now are so advanced that people's systems can't take it. They're, you know, the old antibiotics people could handle, but some of these new ones, they either don't work or they're like, you're really sick when you're on them.
They build up resistance to the antibiotics.
So cooking with honey would help too. I mean, because I've been seeing this a lot, and I do see a lot of things on TV, you know, on a lot of the shopping networks where they've included honey in the hair products, in, you know, a lot of things now, you know, and coconut too they do, but a lot of honey in a lot of things. And I think a lot of people, they say, oh, honey's not good for you because it's high in sugar content. What's the difference between regular sugar and the honey that you get? Because the honey's sweet.
Yeah, and it's natural. Yeah. So it's a natural sugar. So.
Yeah. This is, it turns into like a health show. No, I mean, I just, some of these things are interesting because we never talk about any of these things. You know, we're all, you know, I'm, you know, usually in my shows, a lot of times we talk about marketing, and I know William, how he feels about that too. It's so hard to keep marketing yourself, you know. In fact, today I had, right before the show, I had signed up for another webinar. I listened to all these and I forgot all, at 2 o'clock I went, oh, remembered I didn't listen to it, you know, because, you know, everybody is marketing and whatever, and we don't have conversations about other things a lot of times because we're always talking about how to market our products. And I don't know about you, because I didn't ask you that on the show, but I know how William and I both feel. It's tough, don't you? I mean, how do you feel about all this marketing? It's really tiring.
Mentally. It's time consuming, and you just have to get out there. And I think that, you know, one of the most
What are the best things you do for marketing that you think help you?
I believe that if your marketing is to, like, fully believe in what you're marketing is very important, and be totally honest about what you're marketing. So, you know, you have to be, if your belief is behind it, you know, there's that energy there, and that brings people into it, you know. So, and also to look for, you know, your niche markets, like, you know, have your Facebook page and your Twitter and LinkedIn and, you know, all that good stuff. And
God knows and how we love that Twitter and Facebook. I mean, this is like, you know, hours go by. I know. Yeah. Okay, I also want to talk about your music in a little bit, too, because we didn't get to talk about that on yours. Okay, William, I wanted to ask you about your new career, the magazine here. You want to tell a bit, because you do, I mean, talk about careers. You have, like, you're always doing something new, which is such an interesting thing. So talk about your new venture here.
Well, actually, I mean, it's not all that new, because actually I started out writing magazine articles.
Right.
That's how I started out my career way, you know, for men's magazines way back then. I was writing magazine articles. So it's just kind of a return, and since it's, this one is only different in that, well, I write a monthly men's fashion column for the magazine, because it's a lifestyle and luxury magazine. So I write that, and then I contribute several articles, like every month I try to at least submit one proposal. Like, I actually just did one about bees and the cosmetic industry and how much bees are used in the cosmetic, and mentioned Meadow Lily Farm, which is JoJo and Bruce's establishment where they do their bee things. But it's mainly just a return. I mean, I was asked to do it. I've done it before. I did an article. I used to do a cooking and a fashion article for another online magazine, and it was like once a week, and it got to be just too much. And this is only like once a month. And so I said, well, okay, you know, I'll give it a try. So I've given it a try. So.
See, I think a lot of people are afraid, aren't they, to give a try? I mean, they don't, you know, they stick to the same thing. I mean, I'm not one of those people, because I am always trying something new or wanting something new so I don't get bored. But I think that, you know, to the people listening out there, you know, sometimes it's fun to do something out of the ordinary that you've done for years. And, you know, it does get, you know, not that writing is boring. It's not boring at all. I love it, because you can just write, like you said, in another genre. But, you know, it gives you something to do, you know, where sometimes you're just sitting there and you're really looking at the page, but you're really not writing. You're doing, you know, so if you have an alternative to go to, you won't be, like, depressed or, you know, looking at the screen and saying, what's next?
Yeah.
Some people have that.
Yeah.
They don't know what's next.
Variety is the spice of life. Yeah. I've always thought variety is the spice of life. And if you can find, you know, something to keep your interest, and this is keeping my interest. And I mean, I've been interested in, you know, fashion for a long, long time. One of my book series is about, you know, the head of a haute couture. And when I was traveling in Europe, I mean, I spent a lot of time around the fashion industry. So it's not like it's a complete stranger to me. So, I mean, that's
so it's just natural that you could pick up something, right? I mean, I think style is very interesting, because, you know, when you see Pinterest and all of these sites now, I mean, and the naturally Instagram and all, it's what catches the eye, and that's really what's happening now. It's shorter, you know, even on Facebook, if you put an ad on Facebook, it's got to be short, and they can't have too much on it, because people just look at it, and that's it, you know. So I think that's one of the things, and when you're looking at style – like on Pinterest, I like it for that way. And my characters, you know, I sometimes find what they like, if they, you know, if the women like shoes or whatever they like. And I think that those are the things that people are doing now. And I, for me, it's kind of relaxing because you're not thinking of yourself at all. You're just looking at the pictures. JoJo, are you on Pinterest at all or any of, you know?
I keep thinking I should. I do like, I mean, when I get on, like I'll see somebody put a link for something on Pinterest. And,
yeah.
You know, you just, it just sucks you in.
I think it does. You can find recipes. You can do a lot of things on there. But, you know, nutrition ideas and, you know, you can put a, you know, and anything you want, you know, and almost when you look on Facebook or any of those, anything you look up, even on Facebook now, if you look up something, you know, there's people that do that, you know, or on, you know, Instagram, you know, it's, there's so much out there. In fact, I think today I heard on TV and I actually saw it on the internet. They were talking about how everybody at the dinner table now, they don't sit. Like, William, what you said, you sit and you're all dressed up and you're having dinner, but a lot of people are so busy tweeting and they're messaging their friends. They don't, they're eating, but they're not, everybody at the table's, you know, on their phone. It's kind of, it's a tough, you know, to have relationships that way.
No, that's true. And as a matter of fact, that's why I enjoy eating by myself, because I don't have to worry about a phone. As a matter of fact, when people use telephones when they're with other people, it's a bit perturbing because, you know, it's like they can't devote, you know, 2 minutes to somebody they have without bringing somebody else into the conversation. So, no, it's
and
we're losing
a lot of... And you especially see
it
in restaurants when the server's standing there and you're doing, and somebody's, you know, tweeting or whatever they're doing, you know, on their phone, and the waitress, you know, the server is wanting to take the order. And they're just, they're trying not to be rude, but they probably would like to take the phone and throw it out the door, you know, because they're standing there. And it's like nobody's paying attention to them, you know, because it's
become
a way of life. It has. But on the other note, it's a good thing sometimes when you're in restaurants with kids, you know, it gives them something to do, and the restaurants are a lot more quiet than they ever were. Because if you see like a minute-old baby, they're like looking, you know, they're playing games at 2 years old, you know, and that's a tough time between two and three, as you know, when you're out there with kids. So, you know, now they have something to do. And so I think parents
keep
are kind of glad about that.
Keep the kids out of the restaurant.
You can't do that.
Keep them out of airplanes. Keep them out of hotels. Keep them out of my way.
And what should we do with them?
Send them, you know, leave them at home. Send them off to boarding school. Switzerland, preferably. Bring them back when they're, you know, when they've got some manners, if ever, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to say, if anybody's in the chat room, I just wanted to say they changed the chat room here, and I'm on chat, but I know that you can't see each other probably because that's what's happening here. If you have a question or anything, just ask me. I really don't know. This is something new. You know what? Honestly, I don't know about your station, but this one, they change something all the time where, you know, it looks different than it always did. You know, it's kind of weird.
I can't multitask, Marcia. So I mean,
well, I can't usually either. But I don't usually go on the chat.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I don't even use the chat. But sometimes people like, you know, to be in there. I don't use it a lot because it's hard when you're one person. Like you two have two, and I always had somebody with me, and it was much easier then, you know. But I'm by myself, you know, when I do it, and that's why when you have callers and things, I've done shows with 12 people, which does get a little out of hand when I'm by myself, you know, which is I take on a lot because I think it's fun sometimes, but after I do it, I go, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do this again. Having 12 people on the line is pretty hard, you know, but, you know, it's
JoJo
been fun
do
when
it.
I do
JoJo
it.
Does it all the time. JoJo does it all the time on our program. I can't manage. And then sometimes I have to be very careful because you go to those chat rooms sometime, and if you have the sound on, you get feedback. You know, if you're on the air and you're also on the chat, but you get feedback. So all of a sudden you get screaming in your ear. So rather than just avoid that, I usually check out of the computer room and let JoJo handle the the chat.
Yeah, because sometimes I don't really like to look at it because I think it is very distracting too, you know. But I don't, I know people are in this, and you know, so I sometimes feel bad, you know, when they're in this. Okay, JoJo, I wanted to ask you about your music because that's your. It seems to me maybe your first love here, your music. Is it?
I wondered when you were saying that because we play music on the show.
No, I know that. Most of the shows don't, but it seems like you play more music than others.
How that's come about is we've had a lot of, you know, really good bands on the show. So we'll get the bands on and interview them, which is, you know, they've always got great stories. It's interesting. Some of them have, you know, are also very interested in the paranormal and whatnot, or they're writing music for, like paranormal shows. And that kind of thing. It's kind of almost like having
because we have a lot of people that actually, I had a show on that one day, and people are very interested in, and they may be listening now or going to listen on demand because they write, you know, a lot of music, but, and they go to Nashville, they try, you know, and so you have a lot of bands, so maybe they should be listening to your show because you do have, that's, you know, you have much more, most people don't have those kind of shows that I've seen, you know, where there are so many, you can send them to me. I would have a music show because I think it's fun, you know, after a lot of years, you know, I keep changing, you know, I have my show, which is A Good Story is a Good Story, which is why I name it that because I don't have one, you know, special genre I like or special topic, you know, and a lot of show hosts, you know, which you have a lot of different kinds too, but a lot of them just stick to one type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
But I notice you do music a lot. So, I thought that was something you're so interested in. Have you written? You've written music. No? Never?
No.
Have you ever thought about that? Have you thought about that? Because, you know, it seems like you'd be a good candidate for that, to write.
Yeah.
Some things. Have you thought? Well, never thought about it, or?
Oh, I've thought about writing a cookbook. That's something.
You definitely should do that because anybody out there, because those are good things. There's never enough cookbooks for people. I really believe that. I think that's William. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, I think it's true.
My 7 cookbooks are plenty.
Yeah, but don't you think
everybody.
People really look for that? I mean, it's a good genre because people do go looking for cookbooks. You know, any genre that you write, you know, that's specific to a different kind of market rather than fiction or nonfiction. I think those books, like the how-to, anything, people like how-to. You know, and they're always, you know, I was in the grocery store yesterday and somebody was talking about, I end up in a conversation and my husband, he's in the car waiting for me because I'm always in a conversation. But, you know, Sunday I went to stop and get some things. And so we're talking about recipes and someone said Pinterest because, you know, sometimes when you're in the grocery store, you get so bored, you're figuring out what you should be eating. So you're asking, someone's there, so you go like, is that good? You know, and then they tell you, no, they're sick of it, and they're trying something new. So that's why I think cookbooks, you know, work for people. I mean, if I was cooking more, I think I would, you know, and I used to cook, but I don't think, you know, that's for me. But I think because you really have to like to cook, I think. Do you agree on that? To be able to, you know, if you like to cook, you should write one, JoJo. Don't let yourself be stopped. Write it. Just start writing it.
Yeah. It's just getting the time to do it. And, well, I mean, we have a lot on our plates here now. But we also, the angle, too, is kind of the idea, too, is that we do the tiny home thing. So we live in a very small house. And so as far as the cooking goes, you know, how to do it with putting a very small footprint, you know, with electricity and things like that. So that's kind of part of the cookbook. It's a lifestyle as well, right?
Well, maybe there's a lot of people that would like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They might like that.
Get interested in that, like the homesteading and being self-sufficient. That's kind of where...
Well, look, JoJo, that home that you're running out that I saw advertised on Facebook looked fairly large and fairly nice. Is that the big house that you have rented out?
Oh, that's the big house. That's the rental house. Yeah, and we don't live in there.
What do you mean tiny house? What do you mean?
We have about 700 square feet.
Uh-huh.
We live in a small house, and it's two rooms. So it's two floors. The main room is both our offices and our kitchen, and like a little couch and a TV and stuff. And then the upstairs is the bedroom and all that. So it's a tiny house, 700 square feet.
Well, it's just like compact, so you're not, right, so you don't lose space. You don't lose space. So when you said you had a lot of, you have several of them, or you mean you rent them out, or is that what you're saying?
There's two buildings on the property, and the other house, the other house that's on the property is
Well, you
like
live in Canada, right? We should say that. You live in Canada, so I don't, right?
Yeah.
Right?
And on I'm on a farm with about 5 acres here. So the other house is one of the original houses on the property, and it's an older house, and it's split into two apartments. So we rent out the main floor and the upstairs to two different apartments. So.
And do they stay for a long time? I mean, are they permanently there, or did they rent them out for a certain amount of months, or what do they do?
Yeah,
so just like,
different people. The girl that's upstairs at the house, she's been here for about 3 or 4 years now, and the guy that was on the main floor, there was a guy for, I don't know, probably years, 5 or 6 years, and then the guy that was here now, he was about a year, and his company's moving him up north, so he has to move, so we're renting it out again. So if anybody's looking in London to live on a nature preserve, go to my Facebook and check it out.
Well, I think there might be people that are, it's a very, it's like it's a very environmental thing that a lot of people are into that.
Yeah, we're surrounded by.
Well, Canada is different. I'm in Chicago, so it's really different than any, Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago, New York, and LA, it's busy, and it's not, people just are, I'm not so sure it's so good for everybody because we're all in such a rush half the time. And, even in a grocery store, if they have to wait 2 seconds to get in line and the person before them might be a little slower, people get crazy. I mean, they're so rude, actually. They don't, they have no time. They don't want to wait, And that's how it is around, people could use a little relaxation. It sounds like it's more relaxed atmosphere where you are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's heaven.
Are you from Canada? Are you from Canada? Is that originally?
Yeah.
Because, William, what kind of would you like to be living like that, or is that not interesting to you, or is that just something you've never thought of?
Living in a little house or living on a nature preserve?
Both.
Either one.
Both.
Look, I've been on for a short period of time, a vacation maybe, and if it has, I don't mind living in the country, I don't mind living like that, if it has easy access to a bigger city or something, but I would...
I think you might be, because I think for me, it would be relaxing, but I think it would be hard for me to, kind of live in a smaller area where I don't see people all the time, which I not that I'm talking to everybody every minute. Well, I guess I am talking to everybody every minute, so,
I'm presently living in a city of 300,000 or something rather, and I find it too small. I mean, there's not that much going on here. So if this place didn't have easy access to, you can get on a plane and, Seattle and Vancouver, Canada's not that far away, and Portland and Seattle aren't that far away. I don't think I'd live here. I like living. It's good because when I write, I don't want to be distracted, and there's nothing here to distract me, which is good. But when I want to be distracted, it's bad because, you want to go to a good museum, and there is no good museum. You want to go to a symphony, there is no good symphony. You'd like to see a ballet, there is no ballet. So as far as culture goes, I think nature, going out in Walden Pond and living there is fine. I don't mind doing that for a while, maybe to write a book. But I don't think I could do it 24/7, 52, 375 or whatever, 365, I guess, in a year. So, no.
Yeah. Where I live, though,
I'm looking in the chat room, and I think it says the nature preserve is inside a city.
Yeah, that's my group. Yeah.
That might be for me. I don't know. Okay, and it says it's a cold place full of polar bears. This is your husband, your better half. Full of polar bears and wild beavers where we live in igloos. All right. Okay, I got it. That's for me, I think. Miss Chicago, I think.
You're tired of Chicago, Marcia. Head toward the London.
I sometimes feel like we're in an igloo here. When it's 20 below here, it's cold. You know, if you go by the window, it's cold. You feel, 20 below, you know, we've had, and wind. Chicago it's so intense sometimes. You feel like you're going to be lifted up because our winds are bad. I mean, they're even worse than they used to be because if you have like an umbrella, sometimes the umbrella turns inside out because the wind. So I choose not to use an umbrella because you can't even carry the umbrella. We have such wind, you know. So I guess I feel like I'm in an igloo. Our weather, Chicago, it's bad.
Nothing against Chicago, Marcia, but
it's
I wouldn't
tough.
Want to live in Chicago
winter.
Either.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, a lot
just,
of us are here. You know, people
here.
Go, like, where are you from? I go, I'm from here. It's like, because they say, like, they think it might be somewhere. I might be from somewhere else. But it's tough here in the winters. You know, it is. Look, it starts in October, November, where it's getting cool. And now we're into May. Today, it's like 60, and it's like this is a biggie for everybody. You know, yesterday it was like 40. So, I mean, and we're in May. So we're going to have May, June, July, August, and then September, and then we're right back to where we started again.
Yeah,
that's
what it is in the Pacific Northwest, too. I mean, the winters are way too long here. They go on way, 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 way too long. So, yeah, I mean, if you can go someplace in the middle of winter for like 2 weeks, maybe to a beach or something. I mean, I'm quite content, you know, just lay in a hammock on a beach and drink booze for, you know, a couple weeks. But to get away, because the winters have always been too long for me, and they remain too long for me. So I just as soon have summer all year round. So,
that's what I like about the shows. You know, like having you and JoJo, you're actually both very different, and you know, I mean, and so it's such an interesting mix. I find when you're on the radio and you meet people, because you actually meet people that are so much different, but we're really all alike, but we just have different ways we might live. But, you know, and that's one of the things I love about it. All the people that I've met are so different, but the same. You know, it sounds weird that way, but like even Virginia and I, she's from Utah, and she's, you know, we've been doing shows together from the World of Ink for 6 years. She's in Utah, I'm here, and although we've not physically met in a place, but we've been doing shows for 6 years, and it is weird. I mean, don't you think it's kind of interesting how this all happened? You know, where everybody meets everybody. I mean, I like that. How do you feel, JoJo and William, about that meeting? So many people.
Yeah, I really find it very interesting, and William and I have never met in person either.
That's great. So isn't that interesting? So don't you find that? I mean, you know, that you're close to a person because you really are. They, you know, they know so much about you, and you know so much about them, and you've never met. And, like, I could be, I mean, naturally we've seen pictures, but if let's say, the people on Facebook, sometimes you don't even know if it's them. So you might be standing next to them and you wouldn't know it was them. It's such a weird, you know, but I do like this, though, of meeting all these people, because I have really met a lot of people I never would have met, you know.
Have you ever met anybody outside and, like, you met somebody and they go, I know you from Facebook?
Well, I don't know, because, you know, I worked in a doctor's, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I did work in a doctor's office that was very, very busy. And I worked there for a lot of years. So I meet a lot of people that I knew. And my husband, he's like, you know, and we talk to every server at a restaurant and everything. He's used to it now because we've been married a long time. But, you know, and so, but I find it interesting, though, that a lot of people don't know some of the things I do because I'm so busy listening to their stories because I so like to hear everybody else's story. I have people that know me. They didn't even know I write books. So I think, you know, I don't, you know, because I may be promoting myself on Facebook, but I don't promote myself like I should outside of here. Do you do things like that, either of you? I know you probably don't, right?
No, I mean, look,
I know already that's not your thing.
Yeah, there are people who haven't a clue, you know, they've heard about you from somebody or they know you're from Facebook, but, you know, they've scanned through everything so they know that you're there. But when they meet you, they haven't a clue. I've had people who don't realize that I write for a living,
yeah,
who still
right,
say,
yeah,
you know, what do you do for a living? And I say, well, you know, I'm retired.
Sometimes it's hard, you know, I don't know.
Like
JoJo, too, I mean, like I say, like I saw something on TV and they go, it was somebody talking and they were talking about authors that they don't say they're like an author. And I'm really trying to do that now because, you know, I don't know what I look at myself as, but I don't look at, you know, I should just say, when they say what you do, say, I'm an author. But I start talking about this or that. JoJo, you know, you seem to, so if you meet people, you know, because you were asking that, because you see people, do you see people that know you from your show?
Sometimes from Facebook, but we do, with the honey and that. And
the honey,
and
I would say they would, because they're buying the product, right, and they're coming.
And Vampire, too, and they recognize because I wear the necklace all the time, so.
And you probably go to fairs and everything, right? The fairs.
We do some fairs. We don't do a regular fair because we don't want to get, you know, stuck every weekend at a market somewhere.
Right,
so
right.
We do
that's
we do random ones. We have these things here like seed swaps and things like that. And we'll go out and vend honey there and give out wildflower seeds and get people, you know, we have a bee rescue as well. So we have Ontario Bee Rescue. So if people get swarms of bees on their property, we rescue them. We rescue them and bring them back here.
So you rescue them so people don't spray them and kill them.
Yeah, exactly. So,
how do you rescue them? How do you do that? What do you do?
Well, Bruce, I mean, I usually film it. We do a lot of video work, and that's kind of a neat thing because we're like homesteading, but we are also, both of us are in technical. You know, we work in technical, you know, all week. So I do the filming of the bee captures, and Bruce goes in there, and he goes in the swarm, and if he can get the queen bee into a box, like one of the beehive boxes, the other bees will all follow her in. So, you know, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it takes a long time. But that's how it's done. And it's every single one of them is different, you know. We went out one time, there was a clump of bees in a bush on this guy's property. And sadly, before we got there, it had been raining and cold. And we thought they were dead, and it was just a matter of, like, you know, Bruce was just scooping them up and putting them in the box, and some of them were kind of wiggling around. Got them back, they warmed up, and it was a great hive.
So, you know, let me just ask you a question. So you're not so have you, you've been bitten apparently, right, by bees?
Stung?
Or no? No?
Yeah, I've been stung, yeah.
So what... So what made you not afraid? I mean, I'm sure there's people listening that are afraid. Like, so what made you where you can just do this without fear?
I when I got stung, it just hurt for a short time, and it didn't blow up or anything. No.
Nothing.
So I'm not allergic to them.
And your husband, apparently your husband, your better half is not either, then, because you both do this.
He's been stung. And
but he's not allergic.
He's not allergic, but if he's gotten stung in the face before, like on his lip,
right,
and that really swells up. If it's your face, it's different. So it swells up, and there's all you do. If you're not allergic to them, you can take a little bit of Benadryl or something antihistamine, and you just have to wait, and it goes down.
Yeah, the antihistamine part. I know. I'm just seeing what your husband wrote. Once you understand honeybees, you aren't scared of them. Okay, so I'm going to try not to be scared of them. This, may, you know, yeah. I'm going to try. But, you know, I do think it's such a natural thing that we just got scared, you know, and because I know a lot of people do say, just leave them alone and they won't bother you. Is that true
yeah.
or is that
like,
not true? Is that true or not? Or if you're wearing like cologne or something or spray, you know, hairspray or things like that,
yeah,
don't they?
There's...
That's what I've been told. Yeah. That's why I'm so afraid all the time.
Yeah, well, sometimes they're attracted to perfumes and stuff.
If
banana, you're not supposed to eat banana and then go in the bee yard because banana really attracts them.
Really?
There's just certain,
wow.
you know, so when we're doing, you know, working with the people on the weekend and that, I just, you know, shower. I don't put on perfume or anything.
Yeah.
And they're,
that, that's really, I think that's what people, I mean, that I know would think, you know, it's because I think that, because then they'll say that, you know, they like what you smell like a lot of times if, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're, if you keep your cool.
Oh, okay. So he's helpful. Saying bananas are like a pheromone. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Come after you. If they smell bananas, so that's just
but
when
so
it,
all
when
these people, because there are so many products now. I mean, there really are, you know, because I absolutely see, you know, all these products now on TV and in the grocery stores, you know, made from honey and bees, you know. I mean, so I think that, you know, more and more people are using those products that I can see because I notice on TV when they're talking about products, they always mention honey.
Yeah.
And some of their
our,
lines
like,
are just, yeah.
Yeah, people that come here and get honey, our repeat business is, you know, pretty much everybody's repeat. Like, once they have the honey, and whenever we do a market, if we can do a tasting thing, I just sit there and watch them. Because as soon as they taste the honey, if you haven't ate real honey and you've been buying grocery store honey for years,
yes,
you taste
it's
real
difference, yeah.
You'll never go back. You just go,
see,
oh,
I think,
my God.
I think, you know, listening to you today, because I've not really talked to you about this, I think it's a natural for you to write a book about, you know, recipes that you can use honey in and some of the medicinal things. I mean, I think people would buy something like that because I think that would be an interesting topic for people, because it's such a good, you know, way to stay healthy a lot of times. I think that's your cookbook. Make it like that on recipes to use with honey.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
we'll do it,
the reason I'm interested, because I used to like laugh so much because my grandmother, she just we'd buy, but see, not the real honey, the little bear ones, you know, the little bear honeys, but she would be just taking teaspoons of it, and you know, I mean, I've heard people do this, so I mean, I think it's, you know, it's pretty interesting what you do. Because, you know, I've not heard you on your shows really talk too much about this. And William, you know, I mean, you two are very different, interesting types, though, you know, as far as what you do. I mean, I think people, like I do, like to hear about all these things that are, you know, not exactly mainstream. You know, because I think, you know, it's like a cookie-cutter society. And so it's better if it's different. I like different, you know. And more unique, and it seems like the two of you are a perfect match for your shows. This is what I'm thinking, because you like to have fun, but you have different ideas on things. And William, I already know. I know. I feel like I know what he's thinking. Okay, William, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say is I like, you know, to get a big teaspoon and fill it almost full of honey, and then dribble lemon juice on top of it and eat it by the spoonful.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's really good for you, yeah.
So take a teaspoon of lemon. I mean, a teaspoon of honey with lemon on top of it.
Yeah. You can like even, you know, dribble the lemon juice or something over there in the spoon, and then you get the sweet and the sour too. And I'm very fond of tarts, so it's I do that all the time. As a matter of fact, I had a jar of JoJo's honey from Meadow Lily Farm that I consumed mainly that way. I do have a question, though, Georgia, in regard to honey. Does it lose its any of its good qualities when it's heated?
If you heat it
like,
too high, yeah. Like
yeah,
because
I know like Shoshai chocolate, which has all of those antibiotics
yeah.
and all of those things, and you heat it too high and it loses the It loses its health qualities and becomes just regular like candy. And so I'm wondering, you heat honey too high and it loses its medicinal quality? Or its,
yeah,
its
exactly.
good quality?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. You never want to, real honey well crystallized in the jar. You know, people go, oh, the honey went all crystally when it's cold out. Well, that's normal. That's real honey. We'll do that. And if you just sit it like on a windowsill in the sun, or what I do is I'll put a pan on top of the oven and just sit it on there and the heat from the oven.
Yeah, and hot water. Let it sit in warm water
or,
for a while. That always
water.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
put it in hot water, but you never want to heat it up like, you know, microwave it or anything like that.
Like boil it, right. You don't want to get it to boiling, probably.
Yeah, that.
But I know people put it on cuts and things like that, you know. I've heard, and I actually use this sometimes, like green tea, because, you know, even the tea bags, like if you're soaking your finger or something, I mean, some of these things actually work better than, you know, people would realize. Some, you know, and that's why I was thinking, you know, with your honey recipes, because people are, especially with people that have the autoimmune problems or things like that, you know, that might be more healthy for them, you know, along with their medication or whatever they're taking. But, I mean, you know, sometimes you don't know what to eat that might be better for you, you know, than what you're eating. You know, and I do think they are finding these things out now where people, you know, they try to, you know, have a better diet when they have things, which they do say that it makes you feel better when you have, you know, natural products.
Oh,
you know,
yes, 100%.
You know, because I know when people are on, like, you know, Z-Pak for antibiotics, one is never enough. They got to go two times because, you know, it's very different, the antibiotics. So I think, you know, things like that, along with doing some other products, or like, you know, Dr. Weil has, he believes, you know, Dr. Weil, Andrew Weil. Did you ever read anything about Andrew Weil? He writes about that, you know, he's a doctor from Harvard, but he also believes in, you know, using natural forms to help that. So I think that because most doctors, if they realize that both would be they'd be better for people, you know, they'd be healthier. And we have a lot of people that are sick. I mean, there really are a lot of sick people out there. Yeah, that is, you know, something I know. All right, so anyway, I might know one thing. I think I'm not sure what I know anymore. You know, in our heads from all of the things that we learn, you know, every show I'm on, I learn new things. I mean, this is, to me, something different than we've ever talked about, but I think it's a good topic because I think, you know, you seem to be doing well with it, and that's why I'm thinking a cookbook would probably be very interesting on that.
Yeah.
Go on Pinterest. Well, go on Pinterest and see. I mean, sit there for a while and see what people are doing. And I think, you know, I was talking to William about that the other day, but I think a lot of people are on Pinterest looking for different things, nutrition, style. Those are the things that are good on Pinterest.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, that's what I do. Look, and I know you like music. So, I mean, you know, so what's on tomorrow's show? I mean, I assume that you really do like music because you have so much music on your shows. And I think, you know, because a lot of the other shows don't, I would classify you as a more like, you know, because it's interesting music. People like music. And sometimes when you have to categorize things, they can't find it, you know, on the internet. They don't know how to find some of these shows.
Yeah. And see, we started having the bands and all that on the show, and so we have all the music that we have on the show. We have, you know, permission to play and all that because there was also
remember
that, William?
Right.
They stopped us, like you couldn't just play any music you wanted. You have to have permission, you know, or else they have to pay some kind of fee or something. So anyways, the good thing is that and so we have a lot of independent artists in that too. So it's kind of good, you know, it's interesting stuff. And it's people that aren't, their music's not maybe mainstream, but people get to hear it. And then they can go, you know, check them out at their websites and buy their music and whatnot. So
Yeah, because now they can put it on iTunes. It's very different. It's a much open.
Yeah.
It's much more open of a market, you know. And because I find, you know, I did have a show like that, one of them, and I did enjoy it because we played some music, you know, from some of the people that were on, and they were talking about what they did. And I think people are interested in music because that's like really something that is universal, you know. And people are so interested in it. So, you know, probably if people are listening to this show right now, and if they're going to, then, you know, you might want to listen to JoJo and William, because I think that, yeah, they don't hear this on other things. So send me sometimes your links, and JoJo, just send me the link, and I'll put it out on the days of your show, because I think, you know, there's only so much that people want to listen to about marketing and, you know, and other people's books, because music does bring us all together, I think, you know. And so I've noticed that about your show, is that you have that. And, you know, it's like no holds barred. You talk about a lot of different subjects that are interesting to people. So is there anything you'd want to talk about while we're on here right now that you haven't talked about, or anything you want to tell the people about you, William? That they don't already know about you?
No, they probably know about all there is to know. Oh, they know about all they need to know, I suspect. So.
Yeah, well, you do, I mean, all your genres are interesting because, you know, you don't write in the same genre. So, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think that's interesting when people just try different things.
Well, it keeps me interested. I mean, what can I say? I mean, I've never written for other people. I've always written for myself. So I write to keep myself interested and just hope that
I agree.
I write.
Right, that's
true. Other people interested. Because if you start trying to write for other people, not only will you get bored, but you'll probably won't be satisfying them anyway. So what the heck?
You have to write the best you can. Write a good story. That's it. You know, a good story or a good cookbook, right? And I'm waiting to see yours, JoJo, your cookbook. I'm waiting to see it. You know, I have had a lot of guests. You know what they do? Seriously, they have very small books, indie published, small ones, and they put those out. It doesn't have to be a large book. You know, it can be small, and you can, you know, an e-book, and I think that would be something people would be interested in, on a lot of things, cooking and, you know, healing kind of with honey.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, and it's definitely on my my bucket
list. To-do list. What else is on the to-do list? I have a long to-do list. Yeah.
I have my honey-do list. Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, tell us about tomorrow's show. I interrupted. Go ahead. What's tomorrow's show? Okay.
We have all these guests lined up, and I've been meaning to get to William about that. So we have on May 11th, we have Reverend Tim Shaw on our show, which is always great, and Eric Charles, who's a psychic medium. And on
psychic medium, people love that. People love that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's awesome.
Yes. And send me the link. People really like that. We had Candy O'Donnell, who used to do that on our shows. I think people really enjoy listening to that. That's a really plus for people. They like that. I like it. It's interesting.
What about the fourth, JoJo? Who's on the fourth?
Well, the 18th, we have Rick Boomsteel, who's doing the whole musical thing with a werewolf story, and he's actually portraying the werewolf, and he's a drummer, and he teaches drum lessons, so we're back to the music again, so that's really cool. And on May the 25th, we have Bobby Zimmer, who's a Reiki master, on the show. And then we get up to June, which is, we have someone coming on the show, I can't remember the date, William, but the beginning of June sometime, and from a nudist resort that's doing a nude run thing. So that's going to be interesting.
The Bear Bun Run. Yeah.
You know what? I know somebody that I know from a store that I shop at. She and her husband were at a nudist camp, nudist resort, actually. It was very exclusive, too. And
yeah, I mean, this is Yeah, this is they have a bear bun run every year, and everybody runs out naked and runs around. So we're going to promo it for them.
Yeah, we had Vic Forney on the show who did the run before, right? Or something?
Yeah. Yes, and we may very well do this next one too. For all I know.
I wonder. I don't think I could ever do that. I don't think I could ever do that. That would not be. That's on the list of probably I can't ever do. I don't think this. You know, you have to really, you know, because you know most of the people just don't feel that great no matter who they are. I don't care what you weigh, what you look like, whatever. It's just, you know, you look in the mirror and nobody ever sees really what they look like. They see what they see in the mirror, but that isn't always what you look like, you know. And that's what, you know, that's why a lot of people are more shy and don't have confidence, because sometimes they are beautiful and you can't even, they don't think so.
Yeah, I've had my days of being naked, but I think they're over for except in private.
Well, you've had some cover, well, not covers, but picture. You know, you know, you're more risque, I think. That's how I met you, as a person that was risque, right? You're not the average Joe that's going to do that. No,
I've been around, got my pants a few times. What can I say?
but I don't
think you're going to see me. I mean, I used to go to nudist beaches all the time. I mean, there was one in Dubrovnik, which was a particular favorite of mine. But a new bear bun run, I don't think so. I don't think you're going to catch me out running down the street naked at this time of my life. So,
JoJo,
I hate to disappoint. But,
what about you, JoJo?
JoJo might.
What's that?
Go
are you
going to
run in a bear bun run?
Oh, I would probably do that. We went to Naked Beach in Hawaii and all that. That doesn't, it doesn't.
Didn't bother you at all?
No.
Did you wear nothing? I mean, nothing at all. No.
But
no shoes? No shoes? Nothing?
I had flowers in my hair.
I was going to say, maybe you had something.
Yeah, we did. There's a beautiful new beach in Hawaii, and it's just normal there. It's not a big deal. No one
they don't
really
think about it, right?
It's surprising how you know a lot of people think you go to a nude beach or you go to a nudist colony and there's all these beautiful people with beautiful bodies. So I mean, they're not.
No, that's true. No, I know that. It's just they're very confident people because what I was saying is though sometimes somebody could be absolutely perfect but they don't think they're perfect, you know. And
body image is a major problem for a lot of people. A lot of young people. So I know a lot of people aren't confident enough to go naked, you know. So they have I've been to nudist colonies, and they're just, you know, ordinary people, and they don't really pay too much attention. They really don't. It's like being in a locker room, mainly. I mean, well, with a mixed group, you know, you don't pay too much attention to what's going on, or you try not to. Right.
I was on a nudist beach in Australia, and there was quite a few older gentlemen there, and we called them the Scrunchy Bum Gang.
It's people like you.
I'm just going to say, well, there you go. That answers my question.
Anybody who is going to go to one is not going to know now, because they know JoJo and her group is off in one corner saying, there goes the Scrunchy Bunch Gang. Okay.
Now they just crossed it out of their calendar right now. That's it.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm crossing out all my.
If they don't have self confidence, and then they just heard that, it's not happening for them.
Yeah, go on now. Yeah, leave it to JoJo to knock the wind out of all sorts of people. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'll tell you, this has been very different. I'm happy. You know, I feel like I know William for all these years, but I didn't know you, JoJo, and I think we do know you now. I know everything about you, about your house, everything. Next time you come in, we have a whole new thing to talk about. Well, I think I think people like to hear, you know, different things about people, you know, because, you know, well, let's say wherever you are, you know, you might be doing the same thing, but when you hear different things, I think it's very entertaining to hear what people do with their lives, you know. I'm always interested in other, I guess that's why we all do what we do here, because we do like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for, except William, are we hearing from you right now? I didn't hear an answer. He's not answering.
Was there a question?
I didn't have one, really. I didn't have one.
Well,
I just
there you,
know.
There you go.
I said, you know, you love meeting all these interesting people, and he didn't answer.
You know, it's very, very strange. People
think
that I'm far more social than I am. People think I'm far more social than I am. I mean, I know an awful lot of people, but I'm really not.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I know an awful lot of people, but I'm really not a social animal. I mean, I'm one of these people who can go to a party and, you know, stand off in a corner and not talk to anyone. I used to tell my friends when I went to parties to don't bother introducing me to anybody because I already knew too many people. So
I don't need to know anymore.
So I suspect I was not a very nice person when I was younger, and I don't think I haven't gotten any nicer as the years have gone on, so, you know.
Oh, you mean you haven't mellowed? Is that what it is?
Yeah, no, I really don't think so. I find some people very, very fascinating, but, you know, I find others, you know, go away. So I don't know.
Now there you have an example of the perfect show host, right? Go away.
There we go.
Yeah. So Well, you can find. Look, people can be enjoyable for an hour, you know.
I'm only kidding. You know, that's true. I know. This is well, right? Of course. And we went over, but it was just, you know, because I know that I can go over, but I think that I don't go over too much. But I think that, you know, talking to both of you, it's just different facets of your personality. And I think, you know, being radio show hosts and personalities out there, I think people like to hear different things, you know, about, you know, you guys, rather than, you know, as we say when we go on other shows, we don't, you know, we're exposing ourselves more, you know. That's why we like to be in the driver's seat here asking the questions, so we don't have to, you know, because some people do give up too much, and they shouldn't, you know, and you know they shouldn't. You know, but that's who they are. You know, some people don't have any secrets or just say whatever they think.
They're just all wide open books. They're just all wide open books.
Well, that's what makes life interesting. Anyway, all right. So, once again, your website, so people will be listening tomorrow or in the future shows.
Yeah, you can tune in to No Boundaries Radio Show. We're on ParaX, and it's para-x.com. Or I think it goes paraxradio.com, but just put para-x.com.
Yeah.
And you can find us there. And there's a lot of great shows on ParaX as well. So.
And you have demand, too. You know, your shows are on demand, so they can listen to old shows.
We put our archives up on YouTube later on. So
right. That's what I thought. Right.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Yes. And you know, so I think, you know, send me some of your links, because I really think that, you know, I do this a lot, listen to other shows, and I think that sometimes when the links go out, they will listen to the shows when they have to go in, because it's not that easy to find what you're looking for sometimes on these shows, either, you know, any of these places, you know, Blog Talk or whatever, you know, your network. It's, you know, you have to put the right word in to get exactly something. And it's not that easy sometimes to find things.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, and I think once you, that's why we give the links out, you know, but the links I find on Blog Talk work better the next day. And then nobody has any trouble getting in the next day. Sometimes they have trouble getting into the show on that day and hearing it, but not the next day. The next day, it zips right over. So I guess it's whatever magic they do. They do something. I don't know. I don't listen to my – do you listen to your shows? I don't listen anymore.
I listen to them when I'm posting them on YouTube, but I don't listen to the whole show. I just, like,
yeah.
You know, sometimes I've had to you know, just to put, you know, like a shorten up the music
right,
part.
Something
stuff
of
like
right,
that.
The, yeah.
Not
yeah.
a long archive kind of thing, so.
Yeah. And because, right, you know, but I don't listen because then it'll probably inhibit me too much. That I will say like, uh-oh, goodbye. Don't do this. You know, I think that's what happens sometimes. You know, you get involved in a conversation. You know, and you have to edit yourself out. You got to be careful. You can't just say anything. You know, although some people I've heard on shows, they say anything that they want. Sometimes you can't. You know, you just can't. Anyway, so I'm so happy that you came on, JoJo, with William. And, you know, and you, anything you want me to post, I'll be happy to. And it's a very interesting type of, you know, time today, because it's different than my usual show, because it was so nice not to talk that much about promoting books. And I did that for William's sake, because he knows. He's like me. He doesn't feel, he, you know, that gets tiring after a while.
Yeah, and two thirds of the time it doesn't work. So,
like, no, I think what people think, if you're on a show, they're going to automatically buy your book. That's not true. They'll hear your name.
No,
that's a good thing.
No. Actually, I think that's right. You were talking earlier about, you know, a lot of the book companies going out of business, and I think it's because presently there's just too many publishers and there's too many writers and there's not enough people who are reading, so you really don't have the market anyway. So
it's really sad though. These people are devastated. I mean, they really are. You know, they don't know that much about the business. They had a book published. It's now going to be not published, and they don't realize they're going to have to indie publish it, and they're going to have to pay a little. But that's okay, because indie books do fine. But it just left them in a way that is not good. You know, they just don't know where to turn.
It became too easy for somebody to publish a book. It used to be very, very difficult, you know, to get a mainstream publisher and go through all of that. And then all of a sudden it became easy so that anybody about anything, and that's what happened. And a lot of let's face it, bad. A lot of them were not good.
Yeah, some of them should have never been published. That's true. But for those out there, you know, I hate to see somebody so upset because they don't know where to go and what to do. You know, and in some of the places now, they're not astronomically expensive. So I think people can afford it, and it's not like it was. Look, I just got something from iUniverse on an email.
Oh, I like iUniverse.
I had published two books. Let me tell you, to be on a radio show, they're charging over $3,000.
Really?
I'll forward you what I just got. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they can help for $4,000. Yep. I'll forward it to you, JoJo, too. I'll show you.
They can do a pretty good job. I mean, you could get, you know, hardbacks and paperbacks.
I published my first two books with iUniverse, but they're extremely expensive now. I published them. They were not expensive at all. And then I had redone them, you know, after the fact. But some of these people, you know, I know people that have been on my shows that told me that they have spent like $15,000 to publish a book. So I always try to, this is not, next time I talk to you on the phone, I'll tell you yes, because it's not good. So that's why I said that at the beginning, because they need to, because they're scared now, and they shouldn't spend that kind of money, because you don't have to.
No, because if you have to spend that kind of money, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
when
I published with them, it was like $195 or something like that. That was like 12 years ago or something, 10 years. But now it's not like that. And today, I'll forward, you'll see this. It's $4,000. So I just want people, if they have the money, fine, but a lot of people don't. So, you know, when you don't have the money to do that and your book is now with no publisher and they already started their career, I hate to see their career end, you know.
Yeah, well,
Some shouldn't be. Some are very good, though. Some are really good.
Yeah, if they're good. Some people are good.
Yeah.
But that's the way it was before. I mean, when you had to go with a mainstream publisher, there were a lot of writers who were very, very good that just never got published. I mean, and that's just the fact of life. I know
that's how I started out as an agent, a WGA agent, and it's true. But you always want people to keep writing, you know, and hopefully they'll get better or someone will be discovered. I do feel that way. So that's why I said it at the beginning of the show. There are people out there to help them. So you know,
I think
usually
the market is going through. Yeah, it needs some gleaning. Yeah. I mean, it needs some weeding out. It needs some.
Yeah.
It needs to be,
it definitely needs weeding out, and they are doing that. They definitely are.
It's been a while coming, and I hate to see people who are just getting started. I would not want to be started in the publishing business at the present moment.
Yeah.
No way
on
God's earth would I want to at the present
moment. Well,
it's
very hard. You know, it's cruel. It can be cruel. You know, there's no doubt about that. You know, but. Anyway,
try making a living. Try making a living, you know, even if you can just publish. I mean, all the books I've got out there, I mean, you have to have, you know, you can't do it on one book anymore unless you're a major
I just listened to a webinar the other day. I listened to all these webinars. I like to listen to them. But anyway, they were talking about that. Yes, you know, I mean, all of these subjects do come up on, you know, webinars, and you hear people, what they're talking about, and, you know, it's just very different now than it was, you know, and it is changing, you know, in e-books and, you know, paperbacks and everything, you know, but if a writer really wants to write, they should write, you know, I mean, but they also need to make money, you know, on a regular job, because as we know, you have to have a lot of books, or even a lot of books sometimes, because the market is slow right now, but... On that note, I hope you two will come back again.
Well,
and you're welcome
anytime.
And JoJo and both of you, send me your links because I do think, you know, I'll put them out for you because I think people, you know, will be interested. There's a lot of people who like to hear music and, you know, different things. And, you know, since you're not exactly the same thing as everybody else does, I think it would be good for them to hear your show. Because it's a fun show.
Thank you.
And now they know you. Now they know you so much better now. They know you so much better.
Yeah, right. Hey.
That's a good thing.
That's
a good thing.
I'm going to take your word for it, Marcia.
Yes. I think they'll like you. They do. All right. Thank you again, and thank you to everybody. And next Tuesday I have a show. I think it's the afternoon show, or I'm not. That's what happens. I put them all in, but my brain leaves them, you know, until I have to do it because I like to do one show and then listen. I think you do the same. And then you promote for the next show,
mm-hmm.
you know, but after you're done with one show.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yes, I know. What a good trick. Aren't I smart, really? I know, you know. But it is, you know, that's what you have to do because you don't, you know, because you don't want people to, like, say, oh, my God, she's posting again. So that's it. Which they do say. All right, anyway. All right, have a great week. All right, thank you both for coming on. I really appreciate it. And thank you for those in the chat room. Goodbye. Good night.
Thank you, Marcia.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Joe. Ciao.
Hi, William. Bye.